Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, Jock Talk.
It is Jock Talk. It is Jack Russo Talk. Evan, this week we are doing...
Jacques Rougeau.
Please. I heard it's a Russo joke, all right? This isn't Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wouldn't that be exciting if it was?
I know. Then Selena Gomez is around and I get to be happy.
Keep an eye out for Selena. No, we're talking about Jacques Rougeau, one half of the Rougeau brothers, one half of the Quebecers, and also the Mountie, who always gets his man.
You stole my line, you son of a bitch.
That's what I'm here for. I don't know much about Jacques Rougeau. I mean, I didn't know much before doing research for the pod. What did you know about Jacques Rougeau?
He trained Kevin Owens.
He did, and we are thankful. Because Kevin Owens had a safe match with Stone Cold.
And it was so fun. Oh, are we going to talk about WrestleMania? Do we get to just quickly chime in on WrestleMania?
Give me your quick hit thought on WrestleMania.
I had so much fun.
It was a very fun
night
time.
One.
Night I hate it because it does bail out their shitty build again. This happens again.
Aside from the opening tag match and the Ronda Rousey Charlotte Flair match, night one was fantastic.
Yeah, night one was top notch. Still mad I know that they moved the New Day and versus Sheamus and his Rumble buddies till the next night, but I still was like, I'm watching night one expecting to see New Day, and I didn't see New Day, and I was mad.
I didn't even know they had a match at WrestleMania. When you said that, I was like, "Oh, well, okay." Oh. Night two was fine. I love the McAfee Theory match. Actually kind of like the women's Fatal Four Way Tag match.
I thought it was fine.
And Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn might be the greatest wrestling match of all time.
We are in the golden age of celebrity wrestling appearances.
Logan Paul was fucking good.
Logan Paul is good. Pat McAfee is a legit wrestler. That man can do it.
Yeah. No, he's good at that shit.
Bad Bunny, still the GOAT. Still the GOAT.
Still great.
Johnny Knoxville, spot monkey. Love it.
And like, I'm here for it.
We are in a weird golden age of celebrities who can wrestle. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm down for it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm here. Fuck it. I mean, listen, if they're going to take up a spot, I mean, we may as well just have some people that can do the shit, you know?
Exactly. Make it so people can actually do the things. So before we dive into Jacques Rougeau, let's do all the housekeeping things as usual. Wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. Subscribe to the podcast. Helps us out tremendously. Check out the merch table, fullpressshop.com. All that good stuff. Make sure you're following along on fullpresswrestling.com so you can watch all the matches, get all the links. We make it easy for you to see all the matches that we cover. If something sounds really good, we're like, wow, didn't know that the Rougeau brothers had such a banger of a match. Well, we'll give you the link.
There's one in this that people should definitely go out and seek.
Yes, I think I know which one you're going to say. There's some good ones. So Jacques Rougeau, born in Saint-Sulpice, Quebec. Yes, what a nice place, Saint-Sulpice. Jacques Rougeau began his career in 1977. Of course, he worked in Stampede Wrestling in Calgary, Alberta, because that's where all Canadians go. That's like the Canadian wrestling pilgrimage. You just go to Calgary and you just work there. In the 80s, he began wrestling in the United States, achieving success in Alabama and Tennessee, which, fun fact, that's the Calgary of the South. And in 1985, he and Ray were signed by the WWF.
Raymond
Rougeau. Our first match. The Rougeau brothers, Raymond and Jacques, versus the Dream Team, Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake. We've covered Greg Valentine before. Javier doesn't like Greg Valentine.
It's not Greg Valentine, it's Beefcake that I don't like.
Beefcake is bad.
They are the Dream Team, and that's who we fucking put together?
I don't often dream of teams, but if I dreamed of teams, it wouldn't be these two.
What would your dream team be right now? Right now in wrestling today. Doesn't matter what the promotion is. You could put two people together. Who are they?
My brain immediately went, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley. Why are they your dream team? Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions.
Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter.
But no, this is the dream team we have. It is the big event. That's what it was called. I don't know if they didn't think of names yet. They hadn't thought. It's just the big event. August 28th, 1986. We are at the Exhibition Center in Toronto, which is quite the location.
Really?
Yeah.
You ever been there?
I have. I've been to the... It's called the X. They call it the X.
X gonna give it to you, baby.
X gonna give it to you. There are 74,000 people in attendance at this event. I know.
What?
74,000 people.
That's almost as much as WrestleMania this year.
Yes. Isn't that insane? And
that is crazy.
And like they're just crowded in around the ring. Like it feels like the ring is so small when they zoom out. There's some far shots and it feels so far away. Also, the broadcast team is so far away from the action.
Yeah, dude, they're like all the way up in the nosebleeds. Yeah, they're like up in the boots. It's crazy.
In the boots.
You know what I'm getting from all of this is though, is that Jacques Rougeau is a draw.
Oh, yeah. Him and Hammer draws. Hammer draws. Man. Nobody in their life has been like, Greg Hammer's there, I don't want to see it. They hear the Hammer's coming. They're coming.
Tickets, asses are being put in seats.
Hammered into seats. What did you think of the match?
Immediately, both teams are in the ring and they start trading hands. There's actually some really good early tag work by the Rougeaus.
Yeah, there is.
They just tag back and forth, like working over Greg Valentine. I love that. Who said that the Horsemen were the only one that cut the ring? Who said it?
Not us. True. They were the best. Kings were doing it too. Yep.
Jacques puts on an abdominal stretch at some point, but it's only on for like 2 seconds before Valentine gets out. Beefcake tags in. Scoop slams Jacques for a near fall. And then we get some of the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Go to
which
town.
Is Greg the Hammer Valentine just dropping fists on people. Like, I get the hammer gimmick. I do. I get it's a hammer fist. But, like, this is a bit, it's a lot, you know?
I watched this match on 1.5 speed.
I watched it on 1.25.
It is still slow.
I watched it at 1.25 last night at 2:30 a.m.
Oh my god.
I'm prepping my body because here's the requisite Formula One talk for the week. You can cross it off. This week they're in Australia and qualifying on, I guess, well, I consider it Friday, but it's Saturday morning, is at 2 a.m. And the race the next day is at 1 a.m. So.
Late nights ahead of you.
Yes.
We get a double dropkick by the Rougeaus. Jacques hits an atomic drop, which, if you didn't know, is our favorite move now. Go and listen to the Tully episode if you haven't. It's the best move of all time.
It is an all-time episode as well, by the way, people.
Yeah. Brutus is in, and honestly, I hate that I like his pants and glove combo. I hate that I like it. It's actually pretty fresh.
So you know what I think of every time I see Brutus Beefcake?
What?
You've seen South Park, right?
I have.
Remember Mr. Slave?
That's so fucking perfect. That is exactly it. That is exactly it. God damn.
Hit the hammer right on the head.
You absolutely did. Wow. So Jacques's trying to brawl out of the corner. Ray gets in the ring with him. It's pandemonium. We get a brawl on the outside. And that's when you realize how fucking packed this place is. When they brawl to the outside and they zoom out, you're like, there are so many people there.
Yeah. No, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Ray gets run over by the heels for a while. Big side breaker on the knee by Beefcake for a two. Ray's fighting back. Strikes from his knees. He's brawling. Ray's got a little bit of a brawler streak to him.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a mean guy. And he grew up in the hard streets over in Quebec.
That's true. You don't want to be in the wrong side of town. Especially if you don't speak French.
They'll beat you with a baguette.
You won't even understand. You'll get an ass whooping you couldn't even comprehend.
Quite literally, they'll hit
Wee-wee,
mon ami.
That's right.
It's like, I'm pretty sure I just said yes, sir.
You said yes, my friend.
Ah, same shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at one point here, Valentine rams Raymond. into the apron.
Yep.
And then back in the ring, we get a weird looking backbreaker on him by Beefcake. They just start working his back, basically. Yep. Right? Mon's getting put in hell. There's a bear hug at one point here by the hammer.
Favorite move.
Okay, it's your favorite move.
No, it's nobody's favorite.
My favorite move is the atomic drop. True. Specifically, a top rope atomic drop.
Hammer at one point goes for elbow drops. Nobody is there. And we know from the Hammer episode, he loves his elbow drops and fist drops. That's his shit.
That's all. Just using all he does.
Using his very top heavy frame to fall on people.
My muffin top buddy's over there kicking ass.
Do you know the muffin top? hot tag to Jacques. What do you think of the hot tag to Jacques?
I actually kind of like it. It's Dropkick City.
It is a dropkick fest.
It is. It's just, I mean, that's basically what it is. It's just drop kicks. Because then he goes up to the top.
Scoop slams.
Yeah, he goes up to the top for a flying nothing. When he gets caught, I think Hammer goes for a figure four.
Yeah.
But he's not able to really get it on for a little bit. And then he finally does get it on. Raymond comes in, breaks the hold. And then Beefcake comes through and traps him in the corner. Mm-hmm. So Valentine starts working Jock's leg. And I mean, that's when we get to the finish.
Yeah, go into it. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes for another figure four. Raymond, I don't know when the fuck he tagged in.
That was the most confusing thing to me. It's when Ray tagged in.
I didn't see it at all. And then I rewound it and I couldn't find where it was. But he tags in, gets a sunset flip roll up onto Valentine. 1, 2, 3. The fucking Rougeaus win.
Actually, a clean looking sunset flip, too.
Yeah. Shout out to Raymond.
Overall, not a bad match. Not the worst match I've ever seen. But, you know, not one you'd write home for. Not one that's going to be, filling the X anytime soon in today's age. But, you know, good for the time. Hot tags. Jacques was a good hot tag. So that's our only Rougeau Brothers match of the whole set. Ray would retire in early 1990, ending his tag team partnership with Jacques. Jacques would leave the WWF before re-debuting in January 91, once again alongside Jimmy Hart, this time as the Mountie. Now, why does Jimmy Hart need to be with the Mountie? Do you have a reason for that? Because I don't fucking know.
Okay, so here's what I would guess, right? Is where the fuck else would you put him?
True, and he's one of Hogan's boys, so he needs a job.
I don't know. I couldn't stand. I can't stand Jimmy Hart as like personality. He's great. Jimmy Hart the person is awesome. Mm-hmm. Fucking love Jimmy Hart. But when he's ringside and doing his thing, that guy's exhausting. So fucking annoying.
It's exhausting.
And
so,
I know that's like his thing, but like, God.
The Mountie was a corrupt cattle prod wielding member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who often boasts that he gets his man. Yes. How often do we see Mounties in Canada? Great question. Not often. Especially not.
Where are the Mounties?
They're everywhere.
Do you guys have like regular cops or are they just Mounties?
So we have city police. You will have like provincial police.
Yeah, we have state police.
Yeah. So similar to how you have like city police, state police, but then we also have like this RCMP just has dispatches everywhere. Like they have places that they can send people. Especially to like more remote communities, they'll get RCMP presence. Yeah.
Okay, so are Mounties like park rangers that can arrest people?
They're like cops that are controlled by the federal government.
Ah, so they're the CIA. Gotcha.
Sure. Yeah, kind of.
Mounties killed JFK. Speaking of speaking of Jimmy Hart, I should say, my first note on this match is not Jacques having Jimmy Hart in his corner.
The match we're talking about, SummerSlam 1991, it is a battle of the law enforcement officers. Who's the bigger law enforcer? Who's the bigger snitch? Loser gets arrested and put in jail. It's the Mountie versus the big boss man.
We got two crooked cops here, except one of them's Canadian, so I trust him more.
That's a mistake.
What? I mean, the other one's boss man.
from Cobb County, Georgia.
Like, my man straight up cooked a dog and served it to Al Snow.
Yeah, but he hadn't done that yet.
Yeah, but he's going to, which means
he also
the
ruins
seed,
Big Show's dad's funeral.
The seed is in there, Evan. It's
which
in
is,
there.
I stand by Big Show or Big Boss Man ruining Big Show's dad's funeral is one of the least talked about funniest moments in wrestling.
I feel like it's very much talked about.
I don't think it gets nearly enough airplay as some of the other.
I see the video of Big Show falling off the casket when it's getting dragged away on Twitter like twice a week.
You're in a better place at Twitter than I am. Bossman charges in once the bell rings. Bossman clocks him. They get some shots back and forth. They're trading. Big elbow and a splash by Bossman. He's really in control early on.
Yeah, he gets a cross check in there at some point. I didn't know the American was playing hockey out here.
That's right. Diversify.
A little bit of roughhousery. Jox is getting rocked and then gets a thumb to the eye.
That's right.
Which at least gives him a little bit of reprieve. But then he goes up to the middle rope, tries to do, like, I guess a crossbody, gets caught, and I want to say it's a spine buster.
I wrote spine buster.
Because it's not really a spine buster. You know what it looks like? You remember early Batista?
Yeah.
Early Batista would do a spine buster that way.
We talking Deacon Batista? Or are we talking like...
Yeah, like Deacon, Evolution. Like very early Evolution Batista. Okay. Before Triple H was like, no, this is how you do it.
So yeah, we get the spinebuster-ish move. Bossman gets distracted by Jimmy Hart on the outside. Mountie pushes him into the steel steps because the Mountie always gets his man.
Yeah, I wrote here, Jimmy got to shut the hell up because that's all I could hear. That's all I could hear.
Oh yeah, I turned down the volume. This is a good time to turn down the volume. Not of us, but of the match if you watch it.
Yeah, back in the ring, Jacques gets a snapmare, and then hits two standing elbow drops for a near fall.
He does get a near fall, which I was like, is that worth a near fall in 91?
I think everything's worth a near fall in 91.
You're not wrong, actually, yeah.
Admittedly, we'll get to a near fall here. Great drop kick from Jacques. Jacques has some good drop kicks.
He does.
Good drop kick from my guy for a deer fall. Bossman though just throws him out of the ring from the kicks out.
Yeah,
which is fucking hilarious. I love that spot.
Did we already talk about the time that Mountie bit Bossman?
No, we did not.
Mountie bites Bossman.
But here's the thing: a little bit before that, it's fucking hilarious. So Bossman's at like the apron. He's basically like a torso. Is out of the ring, but he's facing upward. Like, his face is up.
Yeah.
And then fucking Jock just comes through and drops a 12-6 elbow right on his fucking dome and takes him out of the ring. And
drops
then he bites
the curveball on him.
Then he bites him.
Goes for a pile driver, spikes Bossman on his head.
They said he didn't get all of it, but honestly, it just looked like a pile driver.
He looked like he got enough of it.
It looked like a normal pile driver, like... It's not a sit-out power driver, so it just falls back. That's what people did back then.
Mountie gets Hart to distract the ref because he wants the cattle prod. Because that's the thing. Mountie would have his cattle prod that he would use to jab people. Bossman reverses it. Mountie with some leaps to avoid it and gets uppercut for his trouble. Sidewalk slam for a two.
Okay, that was a fucking Uranagi.
Yeah.
By the way. That was an Uranagi. That was not the side. That is not his finisher.
No. They called it sidewalk slam.
Which is, no, it's a fucking
They haven't Uranagi. Developed the word Uranagi yet in 91.
That they could kiss my ass. And then we get the finish, which is just Bossman hitting an Alabama slammer.
Oh, but before that, Bossman, after he does the two on sidewalk slam, is getting up and just drops like a sack of potatoes, and you do not see on camera what happens to him. They say it was because he's tripped, but literally he just stands up from the pin and just fucking falls back down. I was like, what is happening? But yeah, Alabama slam by Bossman. He wins. That means that the Mountie's going to jail. Did you watch the Mountie go to jail?
No.
Oh, he is not happy.
It's like 3 in the morning. You think I was sticking around for that?
They put him in cuffs to drag him away. As he gets in there, he has a biker come up to him in the cell and say, don't you just love the way that leather feels against your body?
Wait a minute. So is he in Cobb County, Georgia?
He's in jail wherever SummerSlam 91 was.
Well, here's the thing, though, is Bossman's jurisdiction only works in Cobb County, Georgia.
Well, I guess he had some buddies in New York because this was in MSG. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Those New Yorkers ain't down with Cobb County, Georgia.
Well, they were down with putting the Mountie in prison, and that's where he went. For the night. Poor guy. Didn't deserve it. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh, I hope he didn't drop the soap.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're looking at the Mountie's greatest singles achievement, the Intercontinental Championship. Back from the break, the Mountie won one singles title. One singles title. And it was the Intercontinental Championship. He won it in an upset over Bret Hart.
A house show, right?
He got one over on Bret Hart on a house show.
Yeah.
In the storyline, Hart was suffering from the flu. But actually, he was going through contract negotiations, and they didn't know if he was going to re-sign. I love that Bret Hart tried to have an MJ flu game and beefed it. I love that as a like he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go out, drop 45. Nope. You lose the IC title.
Nope. Russell Westbrook, baby.
I know that there are a ton of athletes who have probably had matches or like games sick and sucked and just didn't say anything. Because you don't want to hear about it. Like, it's like, oh yeah, like, no, I have like food poisoning. That's why I, you know, shot 2 for 18 from the field, Westbrook.
Never forget when Paul Pierce faked an injury and got
because he had to poop
lifted off the court because he had to take a shit.
You gotta poop pregame. You're a professional. Not
like, why are you? What did you eat earlier in the day? And now you
that is causing you to it to be such an immediate thing.
Yeah, this is dangerous here, Paul.
So we're looking at the defense of the Intercontinental Championship by the Mountie. I say the defense because it's his only defense. He would lose the title. Spoilers. Against Rowdy Roddy Piper at the Royal Rumble 1992. 3 days after winning it, the Mountie holds the title for 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this did eventually lead to the Bret Hart-Roddy Piper match at WrestleMania, which I'll fucking take. That's a good match.
Who are your like least memorable IC champions?
Oh my God, Ezekiel fucking Jackson is at the top of this list.
It was immediate. Immediately you're like, Ezekiel Jackson.
He is number one. Curtis Axel is up there as well. And fuck, I don't even know. Like,
I mean, I wasn't watching, but the fact that Marty Jannetty won it for like 3 weeks blows my mind.
Those are the two that really stick out to me is Curtis Axel and Ezekiel Jackson.
What about Rikishi having it for 2 weeks? Rikishi was at least dope.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked they didn't have it longer.
Yeah. The Mountie has the third shortest IC championship reign. Do you know the other two shortest ones?
No.
Zack Ryder at a day.
I should have known that one.
And Dean Douglas less than a day.
Why? Because that's when he dropped it right afterwards?
So I don't remember exactly what happened with Dean Douglas. I'm going to have to look it up.
No, that was the Shawn Michaels deal.
Yes, yes. He won it by forfeit because Michaels was attacked outside of the nightclub in Syracuse and then lost it immediately to Razor Ramon in Winnipeg, yeah. Manitoba, Canada. So much Manitoba. Canadian content right now.
I know, right? We got Shaq. We got Manitoba.
We got Roddy Ray Piper. He's Canadian too.
Is he?
Piper? Oh, yeah.
Ah, shit. I thought he was from, like, Oregon.
Oregon, also known as Northwest Canada.
You mean Southwest Canada?
Yes. Yes. No, Piper's from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Good for him, I guess.
We've hit Quebec. We've hit Alberta. We've hit Manitoba. We've hit Saskatchewan. We're fucking killing the game. We hit Toronto earlier, too. Look at this.
Hey. And coast we're not done yet.
What'd you think of the match against Piper?
My first note here is, what the fuck is this title match? Because I forgot that the Mountie was IC champion. And so my next note is, wait, Jock is the IC champion? What?
Yeah.
In all caps.
Also, the faceplate they use to show the match for the Mountie is one of the most punchable faces I've ever seen in my life. The Mountie deserves to be sucker punched. Not even just punched, just sucker punched. Like, from behind. A Samoa Joe forearm to the back of the head.
Jesus. So Piper is immediately on him with shots, and Jacques just like, get me out. Get me out.
Can't Piper do this. Chases him down, clocks him.
Yeah, Piper's fucking crazy. Jacques uses Jimmy. So,
I'm sure we've had this discussion before. Is Many Piper times. The person who should have had a run as world champion more than anybody else?
Shit, that's what you meant. I thought you were talking about, we were about to talk about punches.
No. Piper,
I
in terms of people who didn't win the world title, who should have, is Piper like one of your top ones?
I have a top three, and he's in it.
Okay.
So Piper, I don't have them in order. There's no order when I say this. So it's Piper, Razor Ramon,
yep,
and William Regal.
Okay.
That's my top three.
Mine is similar but different. Piper, Ramon, Owen Hart.
Oh, I forgot about Owen. Shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought we would go three for three having the exact same. But Regal's a good show.
Mine is Owen. Mine is Owen. It's Owen over Regal. Regal's a good
four. Regal's a good four, though.
Oh, I forgot about. I just didn't think of Owen. Yeah. No, it's because he should have fucking won it. Is the thing.
You're right. He should have. But you know what?
Anyways,
Piper just excellent in all the things he does. Yeah, he's hot at the gate, chases him down. Big Jacques. Bulldog by Piper. Big bulldog.
Yes. Massive. This is after Jacques used Jimmy to get a little bit of an advantage, but Piper just drops a fist on him and then rams his head in the corner.
Yeah, he does not give a fuck. Piper's not being distracted by Jimmy Hart. He's seen Jimmy for years. He's been able to tone him out.
Yeah, off the bulldog, Jacques gets his foot on the rope to break up the pin. Piper just casually pokes his eye.
Piper's allowed to get away with things.
Jacques wraps up Piper awkwardly and then just smashes his face into the corner.
So it's like a half Nelson, but he didn't commit fully to getting the arm. He just kind of like has his arm in his head and he's like, yeah,
it's low-key like the Regal stretch or like the what's Gargano call it? The Gargano escape or something.
Gargano escape, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but then he just, instead of putting on the hold, he just rams his head into the corner.
Runs his face into the turnbuckle repeatedly.
Which, sure, man.
Different strokes, Jacques, different folks. That's fine.
Say that again. Jacques back elbow for a near fall, which I know at some point when I saw that, Chris Jericho is out there saying, they're burying my finisher.
They are Jericho. Actually, no, this is where Jericho got the idea for his finisher. He's like, Mountie Piper, 92. Keeping that.
You thought it was because of MMA-inspired stuff.
No. It was the Mountie, baby. Six true to his Canadian roots.
Piper sunset flip from the apron back into the ring for a near fall. Piper then just punches him and then bites him and then punches him some more.
Yeah.
Back body drop follows.
Why make your offense complicated when simple offense will work? I will just punch you in the face.
Okay, so Jacques runs off the ropes.
Yep.
Piper like punches him in the dick, basically.
The most effective of punches.
He basically just punches him in the dick. Jacques does a front flip into a back drop. What is that? Back bump. There we go. Back bump.
Yeah.
And then Piper picks him up. It hits an atomic drop. Jacques skins the cat. Comes back into the ring.
I need to talk about the Mountie skinning the cat.
Go on.
There is nobody on the roster. Is Earthquake on the roster? Maybe Earthquake. Who I would have picked less likely to skin the cat randomly. And yet, the Mountie. He's more like the thing is, you saw the dropkicks earlier. They're really good.
Yeah, that's why.
In my brain, I hadn't really put together like that he's this athletic. And then I saw him skin the cat and I literally froze. I was like, wait, what?
Well, here's the thing. Because in both tag teams, the Rougeaus and the Quebecers, he's like the athletic.
He's the athlete. Yeah, he's the small guy. Because well, as we know, the now known as PCO is a big fucking dude.
Yeah, and he's pretty thick. So
thick. Mountie skins the cat. It's impressive. You should see it.
He comes right back into the ring, tries to run. Piper moves out of the way. He runs into Jimmy. On the rebound, Piper grabs him, throws on a sleeper hold, and after about 10 seconds, Piper wins the match.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think the sleeper was going to be the finish.
Well, I mean, it's his finisher.
I know. But in my brain, I'm like, oh, he's going to like use it to set something up, or we're going to see.
What did you think Piper's finisher was?
That's the thing is, I'm so used to seeing the physical tap that he just drops Mountie's body like he's dead and is like, all right, come on, give me my belt. Ready to go home.
Yeah, this is the go home. The best Royal Rumble, one of the best Royal Rumbles of all time is about to happen.
That's right. If you want to go pick a match to watch, this is not a bad one. Not a bad one to watch. It's short. It's not a bad one.
It's the shortest of the bunch.
Plus, then you can just watch the 92 Rumble. And the 92 Rumble is one of the best Rumbles.
I think it's the top three Rumble. It's doubt. It's, well, everyone has their own opinion on it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, the top three is just, it's a lock. It's that. It's 92, it's 2001, it's 2005. You can have your favorite of the bunch. Mine is 2005, personally, for obvious reasons.
Mine is 2001.
Yeah, personally, you know, for obvious reasons, probably. I assumed, I mean, a lot of people love 92, but, you know, 2005 is superior, anyways.
Also, the fact that Piper is in the 92 Rumble, but the Mountie is not.
Well, that's what happens when you lose the IC title.
Mountie couldn't steal a spot from Jerry Sags?
No. Mountie just couldn't get it up, you know?
Or Colonel Mustafa?
Or oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Our promo this week is a classic 90s WWF promo where they have the green screen behind them and they put their
logo short one.
Behind. It's a short one because they didn't let Mountie go out there and just cut promos. They just let him go out there and arrest people, cattle prod people.
Yes. Yes, they did. So the promo is basically on Bret Hart.
It is.
And so he starts off, you know, I consider myself a very reasonable man. I consider myself a very handsome man, a very smart man, a very dedicated man to my profession.
Honestly, good affirmations by the Mount.
Yeah. Great vibes. Love this.
I am very reasonable. I am very handsome.
Hey,
I
love
this. Saying these things in the mirror every morning to psych himself up.
I am valuable. I have value.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important.
Treat yourself, bitch.
Tom Haverford, is that you?
Anyways, he says he trained 3 months for Bret, only for Piper to show up on short notice, steal the IC title, and walk away with it.
This excuse gets used a lot, I feel like. They weren't expecting that opponent. You're a professional. Go in and do it.
You just said you were dedicated to your profession.
Yeah.
Your profession's
you should be ready for anything.
Is subject to change, motherfucker.
Also, no slight to Piper, but if you're planning for Bret Hart, you should be able to handle Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, boss. Those are two wildly contrasting styles. All I'm saying is, by that point, one had headlined WrestleMania, one had not, and it wasn't Bret.
You've got me there. You've got me there. I just think, you know, if you're that prepared, you got to be prepared for anything. It's the WWF. Anything can happen.
And he closes it out by saying, because this is only like 30 seconds. He closes it out by saying that even if it means he has to go through Bret's skull again, he'll do it. Because the Mountie always gets his man.
I fucking love that as a slogan. As like a little catchphrase.
It's great. It's good shit.
He always gets his man. Because then he never fucking does. And that's great. I love that for heels. When they believe their own nonsense for so long that they can just keep buying into it, it's the best.
It's good shit, man.
Speaking of people not, like, or people buying into their own nonsense, what do you think of Cody coming back?
I loved it. I love the presentation.
Yeah.
I love the presentation. I love that he came back as the American Nightmare. I love that nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with Cody is I really, and I don't think this is actually going to be a problem with WWE, but it was in AEW, is after a while, Cody got really graining.
Yeah, that's the right word.
He needed a heel turn, and it never happened, mm-hmm. and I still kind of resent him for that. But, you know, it's a new presentation. It's exactly what WWE needs.
It was going to be one of those things of like, he thinks he's face, but we're going to just start presenting him heel. You know, that type of delusion. that they use sometimes, and it just didn't happen.
Didn't happen, and that's fine. And I'm really excited to see where this goes. They really needed a new star, and if this means that we get to see Cody versus Roman at like SummerSlam, and that's when Cody gets his moment, then I'm here for it. But Cody Rhodes needs the WWE Championship at some point.
He does.
Especially after that promo on Raw.
Yes, where he's like, it's unscripted. And then rumors came out immediately being like, it was 100% to the word scripted. I was like,
yeah, I mean, admittedly.
I don't give a shit. It was good.
He probably had some input in it, you know?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We talked about Cody. We're still talking about Jacques Rougeau. When we get back, we're looking at the Quebecers. Back from the break, after losing to then WWF World Heavyweight Champion Bret Hart in 75 seconds in October 92, Rougeau left the WWF, but he would not be gone for long. In July 93, he would return and began tagging with Pierre Ouellette, the man we now know as PCO.
Shock Daddy.
As the
Shock Grandpa, I guess.
The fact that PCO just can move the way he does.
PCO is the Ring of Honor World Champion.
It is insanity.
PCO was, within the last few years, the Ring of Honor World Champion.
He has one of the most confusing Wikipedias I've ever read.
And his gimmick, I mean, this guy went from a fucking Mountie to quite literally Electric Grandpa.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
So we have the first match for the Quebecers is my favorite match, I think, of the bunch.
Yeah, mine as well.
Quebecers versus newly minted WWE Hall of Famers, the Steiners, for the WWF Tag Team Championships, Raw, September 13th, 1993. The match is being contested under Province of Quebec rules, despite the fact we are in New York.
I have no idea what that means, by the way.
What it means is that the titles can change hands on a DQ.
That's it.
But DQs also include moves from the top rope, throwing somebody over the top. Like, all the old shitty DQ rules are all in effect. Remember all those shitty rules?
I didn't really have that in the WWF. I thought that was just a WCW thing.
It's just for the Province of Quebec rules match.
Okay, I don't like
it's that. Like the Duchess of Queensbury in that it's shitty and favors the heels.
Okay, well, Jock tries to get fancy with Rick and eats a power slam for his troubles. And then he just gets bullied out of the ring. And then we get what is still to this day, and one of the main reasons why I love Bron Breakker, my favorite chant.
Straight to the point, makes sense, gets the point across.
Shout out to Bron Breakker, by the way.
Yeah, love a good Bronson Steiner on Raw, which is weird.
I mean, hey. And then beat Gunther.
And then Joe Gacy kidnapped his dad.
I don't understand what they're doing with why did they just give me him versus Walter when that's a takeover match?
Oh, you mean Gunther?
And then he beat him clean.
You mean Gunther?
Yeah, I mean Gunther, yes.
Don't
Yeah, I mean the bleach blonde guy from fucking Friends.
Yeah, Gunther.
Pierre gets in the ring without a tag.
Yeah, he does. Scott reminds Rick at one point not to pile drive because I guess that's also against the Province of Quebec rules, which I was like, I don't know what the fuck these mean now.
Okay, hold on. We got to talk about this. So Rick catches Pierre with a power slam, which is impressive because Pierre's a big dude.
Yep.
Scott gets in the ring and just hits a Tiger Driver 97 for a near fall.
It was so lit. It was so lit.
And we call people spot monkeys nowadays.
Yeah.
This man's hitting finishing moves as a fucking setup.
Drop kick as well. A lot of good grapple control on the ground.
Perfect drop kick from Scott.
Pierre gets the boot and a diving strike to get a little bit of separation.
Scott gets a back body drop though at some point here in the stand.
And then that's when the pile driver thing of like Rick being like, no, don't pile drive him. That's against the rules, which like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Rick runs Jock out of the ring. Pierre does like a big short arm clothesline at some point here.
Yeah, there also was the commercial break in the middle there.
Yeah, which I just ignored completely.
Which I remember people started complaining, like, oh, I can't believe we have commercials in the middle of matches now. I'm like, they have done this forever.
Yeah.
Like, this has always been a thing.
I mean, I like the picture-in-picture idea then, I guess. But mm-hmm. you know, it's not something WWE does, but it should be.
It should be. It absolutely should be. Back from the break, and you know, nice right hand by Pierre. He's bringing the power to the future Freakzilla. He's throwing hands for him.
But it doesn't matter because Scott hits an overhead belly to fucking belly suplex.
Scott is wrestling like it's fucking 2015. He's Scott, like, I have these moves from the future. Let me show you.
How much Scott Steiner have you had in your life pre Jackman, Jack?
Pretty much this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. And a little bit of rewatch.
Scott Steiner is excellent. Mm-hmm. I love Scott Steiner. Before he gets like way too big for his good, he is one of the most entertaining wrestlers.
Before he starts calling people fat. He's fat. Jock saves Pierre from a single leg crab. Rick holds on the crab on Pierre, and Rick then dives from the second rope onto him because the top rope would be a DQ. These magic rules are so confusing.
So confusing. It doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
You know what else makes no sense? The Quebecers manager is here. This is where he debuted as their manager, okay, by the way.
Who is this dude? I call him Rando.
That's Johnny Polo, a.k.a. Raven. That is Raven. I shit you not. That is the Raven in a Habs jersey. You can't see it right now, dear listeners, but Javier is stunned. He looks like he just finished watching the movie Doubt.
I'm doing the Stefan.
This match has everything.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
Scott Steiner in a tight singlet.
Jacques Rougeau in a nice little red outfit.
So, yeah, Johnny Polo is here to manage the Quebecers. He's got a hockey stick because of fucking course he does.
Is Raven Canadian? Where's Raven from?
Raven is not Canadian.
There's no way he's Canadian. Anyway, I'll take it from here. You do the researching. So random dude comes out. Rick hits a front suplex off the middle rope. Jacques tries breaking it with a senton. Rick moves out of the way, so Jacques just lands on Pierre. And then the rando, which I guess is just fucking Raven, takes the Quebecers out, like, past the crowd. They're, like, going all the way to the back, which they're, like, calling timeout. How is this not a count out?
Province of Quebec rules. Also, Raven is from Philly. Because of course he is.
Oh, my God.
Noted Habs fan, Johnny Polo.
Fucking Johnny Polo. What type of name is that, too, Johnny Polo? That's someone.
A guy who's in the mob. Oh, yeah, you don't want to cross Johnny Polo.
I say this knowing damn well that one of my favorite people in the world is Johnny Bananas from The Challenge.
Oh, my God.
So they
have their little regroup. We go to a commercial break. When we get back, the Quebecers are in control of Scott. Jacques scoop slams Pierre onto Scott, which is impressive because Pierre is the bigger of the two.
And then Pierre press slams Jacques onto Scott.
Yeah. Pierre chokes Scott with a tag rope. Ref doesn't see. Scott getting absolutely worked for a while.
Yeah, dual stun gun to him. Mm-hmm. High-low clothesline, which is something I've now realized people don't really do. The high-low is always like a kick from above and then a kick below. It's never a clothesline.
Yeah.
Well, Jock didn't use the arm. He just tripped the guy. But it was a nice little touch. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. So knee by Scott gives him an opening. Can't get the tag to Rick. Ref actually, at one point, there's a pin attempt, and the ref actually does the right thing and calls for a legal man to make the pin, which is rare because the ref that we have is Earl Hebner.
Shut the fuck up. At one point here, Jack gets a boot or kick to the chest and sells it like he's dying.
Correct.
Jock hits a back body drop. Jock back body drops Pierre onto Scott. Mm-hmm. Great tag work here from the Quebecers.
Oh, yeah. They're excellent.
Scott hits a DDT out of nowhere.
Huge DDT. Huge. Gets the opening.
Spike the fuck out of this dude.
Pierre tries to blast Rick off the apron. Rick just fucking stands his ground. I love that. You know the thing where somebody will run across and just punch and knock the guy off the apron? Rick just is like, I will eat this punch and then kill you.
Yeah, Rick gets in the ring, beats on Pierre, distracting the ref.
Yep.
Giving Raven a perfect fucking opportunity to interfere in this match. But he doesn't.
Nope.
Doesn't hit Scott.
Not time yet.
Jacques hits an Alabama slam into a leg drop off the top rope by Pierre. Or sorry, off the middle rope by Pierre.
Because off the top rope would be a disqualification.
Yeah. And then Jacques puts on a Boston Crab to follow it.
I fucking love that tag work by the Quebecers right there. It was so clean. It was really, really smooth. I loved it.
Rick comes in, takes everyone out.
You got to be really good at your tag work when I'm impressed with the tag work against the Steiners, who are fucking lit at tag work.
Yeah, I thought, honestly, I really, like, I love the Steiners. I love them so very much. And they were excellent in this match. I really thought the Quebecers were the guys that were leading the charge.
Impressive, yeah. Hot tag to Rick. And he's throwing scoop slams. That's the hot tag for Rick.
He's scoop for you. Scoop for you.
That's
scoop
right. For you. Two scoops on Sunday. We get some drop kicks by Scott.
We get a Frankensteiner.
Of course.
For an ear fall, baby.
As we should.
Breaks it up.
Then Johnny Polo decides, now's my time to get involved.
Mike P, my time has come. He throws the hockey stick in the ring. Jock tries using the hockey stick. Scott grabs it, uses it. They get DQ'd.
Because Heather sees it.
Yeah, so the Quebecers win, and they win the damn titles.
Do you know how many times the Quebecers would win the tag titles?
I'm going to go 2.
They are 3-time tag champions.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Well deserved. I enjoyed this. I want more Quebecers.
Honestly, I was looking up some lists because I was trying to think of some more tag teams that we could look at later on. And oftentimes listed as underrated WWF, WWE tag teams, Quebecers usually in the top like 4.
Yeah. And they should be. They're fucking good.
So they would win them here. They would win them again in a house show in January 94. They would accidentally lose them on a house show.
Accidentally lose the title.
It was against, and you're going to fucking love this, Mabel and Mo, Men on a Mission. They accidentally lost them.
It wasn't an accident.
Mabel splashed Pierre, stunning him to the point where he couldn't kick out. Our Lord and Savior Mabel went into business for himself and got himself the tag titles.
And he should have, because he knew he was the draw. He knew he was the man for this fucking division.
But unfortunately, that was a house show match. We do not have the footage for it. So instead, our last match is the Quebecers versus Owen and Bret Hart, the WWF Tag Titles on the line, Royal Rumble 1994.
Oh, how fucking unfortunate. We give the people a goddamn match where the other team is Bret and Owen Hart.
Yeah, but we love Mabel.
This is true.
Mo, take or leave, but we love Mabel.
Yeah, man. Mo could stay the fuck at home. Give me a handicap match.
Honestly, Johnny Polo is a great addition to the Quebecers. This match convinced me. It works.
I still had no idea it was Raven. I saw this man in 2 different matches. No fucking clue it was Raven.
It's Johnny Polo, baby.
My first note in all caps, it is Owen and Bret. I am wet.
Sir. I would lose my mind if Bret gave me the glasses as a kid. I would have lost my shit.
You know why I would have lost my shit? Those glasses are fucking cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
I want a pair of those. Those like visor sunglasses.
So Bret Hart's glasses was the cool thing. Then it was Mysterio's mask, I guess, when he do the mask thing for the kids.
Yeah, when you take off one mask to reveal that he had another mask.
Is there anything now that's this like that level of like, is there anything you'd want?
John Cena's t-shirt.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is Cena's shirt.
I mean, there's way more. I mean, New Day hand out shit all the time.
Yeah, Cody has his from their groin.
Cody has his weightlifting belt that he throws out to the crowd. Tony Storm giving out free OnlyFans subscriptions.
Oh my God. So the match itself, Bret and Pierre to start. Bret gets the early upper hand, tags in Owen for an axe handle. The Hearts working really well together early on.
Owen with an extra as hell series of counters into a hip toss. I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Very so much. Extra.
Owen hip up, stare down with Jock. And I was like, this should have main evented WrestleMania.
This is the one.
This was the match. By the end of this podcast, I was like, I love Jock Rougeau.
Yeah, he is an excellent wrestler. Like, we probably haven't done enough to actually talk about how good he is good in every match. He is never the weak link, especially in tag matches.
Yeah, and he's excellent in tag match. He's a great tag teamer. He's just one of those guys who's better at being a tag worker, but he's so good by himself as well.
Hip toss by Owen for two, like you said. Owen with a nice enziguri after not being able to reach Jacques with his punches. Like, Jacques had caught his leg, and he tried to do the swing like a little brother. Classic Owen Hart. And so he hits him with the enziguri instead. We get a small package by Jacques for a two, kind of stunning the hearts. Tradings of pins from Jacques and Brett, showing a lot of athleticism from both men.
Well, before that, we get a really cool tag move between Brett and Owen. Owen like drapes Jacques over his knee, and
Brett
just drops the elbow off the middle rope.
I like that one.
The Quebecers beat ass in the corner and try running the brothers into each other, but Owen leapfrogs Brett, gets the roll up on while Brett holds. I think he gets the roll up on Pierre while Brett holds Jacques' ankle. And
this
might be
the best spot I've seen in weeks on this podcast.
This might be the best spot I've ever seen. The tag team chemistry, just the foresight.
Honestly, the last two matches, so the Steiner match and this match, are the matches you should watch this week. 100%.
Absolutely.
That spot alone is worth this match.
That was incredible. Brett just starts punching, and Brett has top five greatest punches of all time, so I'm here for it. Running clothesline by Owen for a near fall, suplex for a near fall. Then he hits another suplex. Brett, a little while down the line, is back in the ring. He gets caught with a power slam for a near fall by Pierre. Jock tags in, starts chatting. So he starts chatting so that Pierre can get some licks in the corner because the ref is
choked
distracted.
With the tag rope.
Yes. Pierre hits a running sit.
That's the best way to describe it, running sit.
Yeah. It's basically, I mean, it's like a Bronco Buster, but to like the middle leg areas. Layer, the taint destroyer, whatever the fuck we want to call it. Evan needs a moment. Brett gets a boot up on Pierre's splash.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, we get a hot tag, baby.
Owen's hot tag, right?
He's fast as fuck, boy.
Drop kicks, back body drop, catch belly to belly, crescent kick. Owen's hot tag, elite level, S tier.
Oh, absolutely. That man is the main for every single person if this were Super Smash Brothers.
As he should be.
Pierre breaks sharpshooter by slamming Owen's head on the mat. Right after that, the Quebecers hit a dual stun gun, which I've realized now is a move that they like to use frequently because they did in the last match too.
Yes.
Brett tags in, gets so many punches. So many fucking punches.
The only move I saw was a Russian leg sweep.
Yeah, he hits a side Russian leg sweep on Jock. He hits a backbreaker on Pierre.
Oh, backbreaker, yeah.
And then Johnny Polo sits on the rope, causing Brett to fall out of the ring and hurt his knee.
That is a key detail.
The Quebecers start targeting his knee around ringside. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know who the referee for this match was, but Jock threw a fucking chair. Jock threw a fucking chair at Brett, and no one cared.
The ref was looking right at it, and they're like, the ref missed it. I'm like, how? How did he miss it? It was in front of his face.
The ref gets distracted with Pierre and Owen. Jock just starts hitting Brett with a stick that he got given from Johnny Polo.
Yep.
Owen throws Brett back into the ring because they have to do something.
Yeah, Brett has to get in because they're going to get counted out.
Yeah, Jock just starts stomping on his knee. Jock puts on a Boston Crab, but Owen kicks him to break it up. Pierre drops a leg from the middle rope. Then the Quebecers try to do a top rope move of some kind. Pierre misses. Sure. Pierre misses. And Brett, instead of tagging, tries to put on a sharpshooter. So he puts on the sharpshooter hold while he's on the ground. Because it's essentially just a fucking figure four. But like with a little bit of, you know, maneuvering. And then he just, as he's standing up, he just collapses. And so because he collapsed, the referee just stopped the match.
Early screw job. Terrible call.
He just stops the match, calls for the bell. The Quebecers retain the titles on ref stoppage.
Terrible call.
Owen's fucking pissed.
And what happens after the match?
Owen's pissed. He yells at Brett for a little bit.
Yep.
He's yelling at Brett a lot, actually. And then as Brett is starting to get up, Owen just kicks him right in the fucking leg.
That's right. Owen, you dick.
And as he's leaving, he's calling Brett selfish. He's saying all this shit. And this would lead to the infamous line from Owen Hart. I kicked the leg out of your leg.
And he did. He truly did.
I love Owen Hart. I love the Owen Hart heel turn. Everything about it was great.
And we love Jacques Rougeau now too.
Yes, this is the end of the matches.
The Quebecers broke up at a house show in Montreal in June 94. So after a loss to the Head Shrinkers, Pierre and Johnny Polo turned on Rougeau. After a few minutes of Jacques being attacked in front of his hometown crowd, his brother Raymond, who at this point was the announcer for WWF's French language broadcasting, ran to the ring to save his brother. It would set up a retirement match for Jacques in Montreal again, beating Pierre in October 94. His retirement would stick. He would never wrestle again. Just kidding. They teamed in WCW in 96. And another run in WWF in 98.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah. Ever since he started up a school over in Canada, we yep. know that he trained Kevin Owens.
You're welcome, Earth.
Although Kevin Owens does not have many favorable things to say about Jacques Rougeau.
Oh, does he not?
Well, it's more, I think Jacques like intentionally would book him at like really small shitty indies after he, after a while.
Had blown up, yeah.
Yeah, after he'd blown up a little bit, just because he didn't want Kevin to leave so he could keep making money off of him.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
A shitty thing. It's a shitty thing. What did you think reviewing the career of Jacques Rougeau? What were your thoughts?
I liked it. I loved the tag matches. Loved the tag matches. Not the first one, but the last two were excellent. His single stuff as the Mountie.
It's a funny gimmick. It was fine.
The promo was fun. I enjoyed the promo. Loved the self-affirmation.
Yes, he's all about that manifesting.
Jacques is a good hand. I mean, at no point did I see any of this, and I was like, this is a main event caliber talent, but he's a good hand to have. If Jacques Rougeau is on the undercard, the whole card's probably pretty damn good.
Jacques Rougeau can fill a tag team, can hold your tag belts, can give you good tag matches. That's what he can do.
Be an interim IC champion.
That's three-day IC champion, baby. Good for him. Let's talk about what we got coming on next week. Next week, it's the beginning of another three-parter, and I am thrilled. It is my favorite wrestler's three-parter, Kurt Angle, baby. Let's go. Three eyes. Drink your milk. Say your prayers. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I got my three-parter with John Cena, so I figured, it was time. It was time to let Evan have his moment.
And I'm more than happy to just take that ball and run with it. We're talking Kurt, early WWE, amazing rookie year. We're talking about SmackDown 6. We're talking about switching over to TNA. We're talking his shitty retirement match against Baron Corbin. All of it. It's all going to be in there, wrapped up in a nice little bow. Three parts of Kurt Angle. I'm fucking stoked.
I'm stoked as well. Kurt Angle is one of my favorites as well. I'm really excited to scream out "You suck" while recording the podcast.
We're just going to really scream it randomly through. It's going to be just sprinkled throughout.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see just some damn good wrestling, because Angle is known for anything, it's a damn good wrestler.
We've had a couple weeks of like, hey, this person was a good hand, and yeah, they were good at never going to be main eventer. Kurt Angle's the shit.
Kurt Angle is the main event, motherfucker.
The main event, man. Look at that dude. He looks like a million bucks.
That is an Olympic gold medalist
with a broken freaking neck.
Oh yeah.
Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. I'm starting to get a little more active on there.
Look, he's doing the things. He's tweeting
a little more active on there. I mean, yeah, if you want to sauce me a follow or two, I'll gladly take them.
There you go. Follow me on Twitter at @itsevangomes, @itsevangomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter at @crossbodyofwork. Javier, any final words for the people?
Yes, I am in a rush right now because I am going to go have the best ice cream in the world in a little bit here. And I just want the people, the day that you're listening to this, whatever that may be, do something for yourself that makes you happy. Because I'm going to get ice cream right now, and I fucking love that place, and I'm going to be so fucking happy while eating that. And I want everyone else to experience their own version of bliss. So whatever makes you happy, whatever brings you that bliss, that satisfying feeling, go do it. Go get it. Do you. Be happy. That's life advice with Javier for this week.
That is some sound and solid life advice. Well done. Good show. This therapy session is going well. Plus, ice cream is amazing. Everyone should get ice cream.
Yeah, go get ice cream. I mean, shit, yeah. Cotton candy ice cream is what I'm getting. Go get some.
Cotton candy?
Okay, so it's not like, it doesn't taste like cotton candy. It tastes like, it's basically like a, like it's got cotton candy slight flavoring infused in a vanilla ice cream. Okay. So you taste the hints of cotton candy, but it's mostly vanilla ice cream. So it's not like an overpowering sweetness.
I'm usually like a much more, I'm like a chocolate based guy. So I'm like, I like my chocolate peanut butters, like my chocolate.
I hate chocolate. Nuts.
What's your number one ice cream flavor?
I'm not a chocolate guy at all. Okay. Like I hate chocolate of all kind. I'm very plain. It's vanilla. French vanilla is my number one.
What are your thoughts on mint chocolate chip?
It's got chocolate in it.
I hate it because it's got mint in it. Perfect tag team. Let's go. That's the go home signal. The ref is telling us to wrap this shit up. We'll see you next week. We'll talk more about ice cream, but we're mainly talking about Kurt Angle. We'll see you then.